Turn with me to Proverbs 14:1. As you are doing so, let me just say, I forgot to make the announcement earlier. Not that my sermon is going to kill you, but out on the table in the back from last Sunday, we have some things from Sykes Funeral Home and Jessica Workman on pre-planning for your funeral. There is a pamphlet there. I don't want you to get up and leave thinking that my sermon is going to kill you and you need to go ahead and plan for it. But I just wanted to make that available. There's a deadline, but we do have that offer that is in the back, so pick up a pamphlet on your way out. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, I am switching from, just for this week, I am leaving the Sermon on the Mount, and I am coming to discuss the divine institution of parenting. As you already know, today is Mother's Day. And I am using this verse here in Proverbs. You do not have to stand in the reading of it here in just a moment. I'm using this verse as a backdrop or as a basis for talking about parenting. The application is going to be to mothers, fathers, grandparents on the divine institution of parenting. Maybe you don't have children at this juncture, but you're planning on having children in the future. You need to talk about what your worldview is when it comes to parenting. Are you going to adopt a biblical worldview? Or are you going to adopt a cultural worldview? How are you going to proceed with parenting? We know that the Bible teaches the divine institution of marriage as being between one man and one woman. Some say that the church does not have the right to arbitrarily define what marriage is. But let me say to you today, or ask this question, does God have the right to define what marriage is? That's the question we must ask. And he has defined it, according to Genesis, as therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. But he also gives us not only the divine institution of marriage, but the divine institution of parenting. Genesis 3:20, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. Matthew 15, 4, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Now, most of our children have gone back to children's church. Should that be the message that I deliver to them today? Hey, you don't honor your mother and father, you might die, all right? But it ought to perk us up, okay? Even as adults, we ought to perk up just a little bit and realize that we're to honor our mother and father. But let us go deeper in the Word, and we're turning to Proverbs 14:1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Now, I'll come back to that, but as I am talking about parenting, taking this verse, applying it to parenting, wisdom versus foolishness, keep that in the backdrop of your mind, the contrast between wise and foolish. First, I want to say that parenting is a God-given authority. It is a God-given authority. The government does not have the God-given authority to parent our children. Now, let me be clear. I am not speaking out against public education. I'm not speaking out against private education. I am not promoting homeschooling. I believe all of these are viable means by which to educate our children, and education is important. So I don't want anybody leaving here misquoting me and say, well, since the pastor and his family are homeschoolers, they're just against teachers. I know some of you are teachers in here. I love you. I love you. I pray for you. It is not my job to dictate the form of education, whether it be public, private, homeschooling. I am saying to you, the government does not have the God-given authority to do your job. But it seems like in the culture, we are promoting the philosophy that it takes some type of professional in order to raise our children, that parents do not have enough sense to do that. And I am trying to rebuke that today and tell you that it is mother and father who have been given the authority to raise their children. And by the way, let me just say, anything, you may disagree with me, but of just about anything the government touches, it messes up. So let us just dwell on that and not entrust the rearing of our children solely to the government. Plus, let's apply it to this. You can see this clearly. Some people believe that it takes a professional in the church in order to teach their children spiritually. Listen to me, mom and dad. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. It is your responsibility to teach your children about God. It is not to be left to some professional with a degree, whether it be a pastor, a youth director, a children's director, so forth and so on. This is, in my opinion, an adoption of what the culture is teaching, that you got to have some professional that is wiser than you in order to rear your children. Let me just say this as well, parents. Who do you think will give an account before God on how their children are raised? It's going to be mom and dad. So you are to teach your children. This is called formative discipline. It's what I do in the pulpit for you as a church, even though sometimes I ramble on and don't do such a good job. I am to teach you, discipline you through the teaching of God's word. Parents, you have the responsibility to teach your children. We'll come back to that in just a moment. You also have the authority to implement corrective discipline when it comes to your children. Now, this is not in vogue. This is not something that even Christian parents want to hear. For we have done away with such things as spanking. Now, let me ask you. Let me just ask you. To not spank your child, is that not a denial of God's will and His word? Now, we want to adopt the most influential psychological and cultural books and take that philosophy to raise our children. And there can be truths in those books that align with God's word. And we can utilize those things. But where it goes against God's word, we are to reject it. Spanking is not popular. We've taken it out of public school system, we've taken it out of private school system, and we've taken it out of the home. But the Bible says, Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. I love that verse. That may be my favorite one in all of Scripture. Proverbs 23:14, if you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself does what? Brings shame to his mother. What we're observing in our society is that children are ruling over parents instead of parents ruling over children. And it is evident in schools. I could have some teachers come up here and testify to that. It is evident in the church. Lord help us, just go to Walmart. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, if I could just have 5 minutes with that child? Now, some of you are going to say, that dude's a tyrant. No, you have all thought it. You're like, good night. All right? Ted Tripp says in his book, Shepherding the Child's Heart, which I highly recommend, God provides the understanding of what discipline is. Its function is not primarily punitive. It is corrective. The primary thrust of discipline is not to take revenge, but to correct. The discipline of a child is a parent refusing to be a willing party to his child's death. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Mistakes can be made in parenting. We can over-discipline. We can discipline in anger. That is sin. As God's agents, Ted Tripp says, you cannot discipline for mere matters of self-interest or personal convenience. Your correction must be tied to the principles and absolutes of the Word of God. The issues of discipline are issues of character development and honoring God. It is God's non-negotiable standard that fuels correction and discipline. So I say to you, parents, you have the God-given authority to do just that. Parent. And you have a purpose, a God-given purpose in being a mother and a father. And one of the primary purposes for the parent-child relationship is to promote the Judeo-Christian heritage, to pass on Christianity, to live a spiritual legacy, to leave it. That means you must teach your children about God, about Jesus, rearing them in the ways of the Lord. You're to pass on the faith. Let me ask you, how many of you have come to faith because your mom was a Christian, because your dad was a Christian, because your grandparents believed in Jesus Christ and passed on the gospel message to you? That is one of the roles of parenting. That means that we must make it a high priority to teach our children about God. And I know that I'm probably going to overstep. This is not to be discouraging to mothers today or discouraging to parents. It's to be encouraging. But when you sacrifice spiritual instruction for the promotion of other things, what are you teaching your children? When hobbies and sports and even the education of our children, where you put homework before the spiritual instruction of your children, what are you teaching them? I'm not saying to do away with public education. I'm not saying to do away with sports. I'm not saying to do away with hobbies. But when that is of more importance than spiritual instruction, what do you teach your children? You teach your children that this is something that is not valuable. And I'm sorry if that offends you today. It's not either or. We are to educate our children, but not at the sacrifice of spiritual instruction. We are to have fun with our children, but not to the sacrifice of spiritual instruction. So what are your priorities today? The mother is integral in tone and focus of the home. Notice what the word says. The wisest of women builds her house. The home is built around the figure of the mother, around the mother. She is the one that makes the home. Through example, through words, she can live and teach the gospel message. Notice what Paul says about Timothy. Now, I just want you to listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Pay attention. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God has, did you notice that? How did Timothy come to the faith? Through his mother and grandmother sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with him. God has created the family as the greatest conduit for passing on the faith. Go and read scripture. Read about the official son in John chapter 4. What happens? He comes to faith, so does all of his household. Paul and Silas in prison. The Philippian jailer comes to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, so does all of his household. Lydia, we come to Acts chapter 18, and it says he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. Are you catching on yet? What are we to do to fulfill the Great Commission? Jesus says to teach them all that I have commanded. Do you realize the mission field that you have in your home, parents, grandparents? You have the opportunity to teach them all that Jesus has commanded. You have the opportunity to leave a spiritual legacy. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself this morning, I do not have the ability to do that. I don't know how to lead home worship. I don't know how to open my Bible and share with my children and grandchildren. I don't know what to do. Well, if God has given you the authority to be a parent and to give spiritual instruction, he's going to give you the ability. Now, It is difficult at times, and I almost titled this sermon, The Inadequate Parent. And what I mean by that is, listen, I'm your minister, but I have great anxiety in the rearing of my children to make sure that they have the spiritual instruction that they need to, in order to, for them to have the education they need to be productive citizens in society and not to live with me past the age of 18. All right? I want to live with my wife at some point, with just my wife. Sorry, kids. But I have anxiety, and I can't do anything apart from Christ. That's what John chapter 15 tells me. I can do nothing apart from him, and neither can you. But sometimes we feel so inadequate, do we not? And I'm going to share this illustration with you, and I don't want you to think that my children are being disrespectful, but we have a lot of jest. We tease each other, okay? We have, it's just part of my personality. I'll pick at them, they pick at me. It's kind of open. But several years ago, I can remember when Owen was even younger, he used to refer to me as Grapehead. And I always am talking about my weight and my age. And so, you know, Gwen at one point said, so are you too old and fat to put on your pants? And I'm sharing all of this with you because sometimes as a parent, what we feel like a grape head and too old and fat to put on our pants. You understand what I'm saying? And it's just, it's a fact of the matter. Well, I want to give you some encouragement today. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. You're going to wound your children. You're going to scar your children. But that doesn't mean that you give up your task as a parent. God can equip you. But it's easier to go the path of least resistance. Listen, when I get home from Nashville, all I want to do is veg. So my girls will be at ballet, and sometimes the boys are at home, and it's just okay if they're playing Xbox. I'll hit the recliner, and I'm just passing out. You know, I'm vegging. I'll find me some food somewhere. Jerry's cooked something, or the boys have. That's not fulfilling Deuteronomy 6, where it means that we are to instruct our children in the Lord, whether it's in the morning or the evening, lying down or walking along the way. I understand. I am not here. We have device problems in my house. What do you mean by device problems? Everybody's got an iPad and earbuds. And so Jerry and I have to go through and clean house every now and then and say, hey, no more of that. Let's go do something together as a family or spend time together or activity. She just talked to me about it this week. It is easier to veg out. When it takes me 25 minutes to get out of my parking garage in Nashville, because, and I know some of you were there, New Kids on the Block is in concert. Which, listen, I know y'all excited, but they're like 50. Come on now. That's like me getting up there. All right. No, I'm just teasing. But that's what happens downtown. There's always something going on. And I'm always checking the calendar to see, because in my parking garage, I'm in the Pinnacle building. And everybody wants to park in the Pinnacle building. All right? And so they come in. And first of all, you can't get two cars around the corner. I know you could care less about this. But as you crazies are coming in the Pinnacle building doing 75 miles an hour, I have to sit there and wait on you because you're not looking at the mirror to see that traffic's trying to get out. If you would like a tutorial, I'll be happy to share it with you at a later date. But anyway, I understand where you're at. You're tired. But I'm saying to you as well, if you're not desiring to pursue godliness, how are you going to point your children to pursue godliness? You need to train yourself. You train yourself through God's word. You train yourself through prayer. You train yourself through spiritual disciplines of fasting, solitude, meditation. You train yourself by being together here with other believers. And listen, we'll come alongside you and help you parent. It's not our job as the church to parent your child, but we will give you as much assistance as we can. And we'll talk to you about the difficulties of it. Don't ever fear coming up to me and saying, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to look back at you and I'm going to say, I don't have any idea what I'm doing at times either, but we're going to do this together. Anybody who says they have all the answers, I question that. But God has all the answers, right? And when we talk about God-given ability, that means that we can seek God-given wisdom. And if we lack wisdom in something, James tells us we can go to him who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I want you to listen to me for just a moment. If it's not God-given wisdom, then it's man-made wisdom. And man-made wisdom, according to Scripture, is foolishness. The wisest of women builds her house, but with folly, her hands tear it down. Let me ask you, mothers, grandmothers, just being specific today on Mother's Day, are you wise or foolish? How are you building your house? Are you seeking the wisdom of God? Do you realize that you are simply a steward of your child's life? And that you're to invest in that child. He or she is a good and perfect gift received from the Lord. You need to teach them and guide them to fulfill their God-given purpose. As I move on, I don't know how we have arrived here as a society. But I hope you do realize that children are a gift of the Lord and they are a blessing. And you can disagree with me if you want. Just don't throw anything at me. But we have become a culture that hates children. And you say, what do you mean? Abortion? We are murdering innocent children. And we hear words like this from the representative out of Alabama, John Rogers, who said in the abortion ban debate, some kids are unwanted, so you kill them now or you kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved, you send them to the electric chair, so you kill them now or you kill them later. I believe that I have the higher ground to debate that we are living in a culture of death. And those words that I just read to you are a direct quote, and it is pure evil. It is wickedness. It is demonic. Children are a blessing from the Lord. That is what the Scripture says. God instructed man after he was created in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What are you to do? You're to have, if God so blesses you, you are to have children. And they are a blessing from the Lord. I got four of my own. And don't go, yeah, I want them out at 18, but I still love them. They're a blessing. I want them back. I don't know. Financially, I won't. But anyway, just like, Paige, you're coming off Tammy's payroll here in just a little bit. No, you're not? Okay. All right, sorry. They're a blessing. Notice what the psalmist says. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are like arrows in the bow that need to be readied, aimed at a target, and released. They are our future. We are to leave a spiritual legacy. Not just this generation, next generation, but generations to follow. The Christian faith will be lost if we are not rearing up our children in the ways of the Lord. We already see it in our culture where we see young people who do not know who Jesus Christ is, who do not believe in God. We have failed in our task if we are not teaching our children And listen, disciplined, wise children can bring joy to their parents. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. Proverbs 23:16, my inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. So parents, I don't want to be a discouragement to you. I want to encourage you. You have the God-given authority to parent. You have a God-given purpose to parent. That is to pass on the Christian faith. You have the God-given ability if you'll only seek His wisdom. And you have a God-given blessing in your child or children. So what will you be today, mother, grandmother, parents? Are you going to be wise or foolish? Not building your house upon the Lord is folly, and your house will fall. That is the backdrop of Proverbs 14:1. I want you to understand what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman. We're going to quote some verses from it here in just a moment, where her family rises up and praises her. Leave a legacy. Stop chasing the vain things of this world. It's chasing after the wind. The treasures of your life, the treasures of your home. Listen, it's Jesus. Build everything around Him, and He will bless it. Listen, I raise my children. My children, being a preacher's child, they're hearing the gospel all the time. They hear all the sermons. We go over the sermons. You just need to pray for them. Because at the dinner table, I'll just throw things out there, say, what do you think about this? And I'll just start preaching this sermon to them on Monday. So they've already heard it multiple times. But I don't even know where I was going with that. Where was I going with that? Oh, even though I teach them the gospel and teach them the word of God. Thank you, Jerry. Have I reached that age? Is this what happens to old preachers? Is they begin to say, now what was I going to say, woman? But there's no guarantee my children, once they leave the home, are going to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's all in God's hands. Salvation is in the hand of the Lord. But I have a responsibility before God. I don't want to stand before God and say, Lord, try to make excuses, which is going to be silly if we ever try to do that, of why I didn't teach my children about you. I have to stand before God and give an account of their lives. You want to talk about pressure. But listen, we have all the resources we need. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit living within us as believers. We have each other. We have His Word. We have prayer. And yes, we're going to mess up along the way, but I want to be an encourager to you. Hey, just join all the rest of us messed up folks. And let's do this together. We'll help you. Go and read Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. Excellent resource. Go and read your Bible about parenting. Look up Word, get a Word Index or whatever concordance and look up what it says about parenting and children. Those of you who have grown children and grandchildren, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, how I messed up. Do you know that there's still time? There is no greater testimony of the truth of the gospel than to go to your children or your grandchildren and say, I messed up. I didn't do this for you. Please forgive me. This is why I need Jesus Christ. Now, let us attempt to correct this, and let me give you some guidance, and let me help with the grandkids and teach them the ways of the Lord. There's still time. You're never too old to change. Why? Well, if you believe in the Holy Spirit and the power of God, why would you ever question whether or not you can change and be transformed? Today, please don't leave here discouraged. Please don't leave here misquoting me that I'm against all forms of education. Please don't leave here doubting your ability as a parent. Please don't leave here without seeking the wisdom of God. Please don't leave here without falling down before Him and saying, I need you, Lord. I'm a living example of where God can take a weak man and further the good news of Jesus Christ. He can use you, weak father. He can use you, weak mother and grandfather, to leave a spiritual legacy. And what better legacy can we leave? Let's store up our treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, forgive us where we have failed to follow your instruction in being parents. Where we have built our lives around foolish things instead of wise things. Lord, lead us into the truth at this time. Lead us to repentance. Lead us to forgiveness. Lead us to restoration. Lead us to transformation by your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the spiritual legacy that is represented here, where parents and grandparents have shared the faith, and generation after generation continues to trust in you. Oh, Lord, but let your kingdom expand. Let us always remember who you are and to teach our children about who you are. Oh, Lord, grant us today the wisdom to teach all that you have commanded. Help us see our homes as a mission field. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for your provision to us. Oh, Lord, do your work of grace and mercy today. I look forward to how people are going to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing, Lord, be glorified? Would you make a commitment to him today?